Romans chapter 8 we are looking at this morning. And also, there's an outline in the bulletin that will go along with the message, if you find that helpful. Last evening, we were preparing for the event that we had last night, the talent show. And I heard we had the front doors open, and I heard someone come in, and they yell, "Hello, hello!" And because I was back in my office, and I came out, and I saw Teddy was out there. This is Nancy McKenzie's grandson. And he said, "Oh, Nancy's out in the truck out front," and she stopped to say hi. And I said, "Oh, my goodness," because I was just thinking about her. She hadn't been able to be at church here in quite some time. She's actually staying with her son and daughter-in-law over in Upper Marlboro, as she needs assistance at this time, so she doesn't get to come very often. But she asked me specifically to say hi, and she sends her love to the congregation. So continue to lift Nancy up. She hates missing being here and loves her church family. So as you think of her, perhaps some of you might like to drop her a card. I can get the address for you. If you just call Sue on the number on the front of the bulletin, we'll get you that information. Don't ask me to remember right now, because I won't by the time. Sometimes people will talk to me, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, would you do this or that, Pastor?" And, you know, by the time I get done with church and an hour later, I've had, you know, 25 conversations. So please text me or call me and ask me, okay? And don't be mad at me if I forget. I appreciate that. We're looking at Romans chapter 8. I want to talk with you this morning about another aspect of this truth of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's read from God's Word, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 14. This is the Word of the Lord. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Would you pray with me, please? Father, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enlighten and open our minds and our hearts to the truth of your word. And Lord, that it would not merely be information, but rather life-changing truth. Have your way in our lives. Speak to your people. We pray especially for those who are hurting this morning in various ways, that you will lift them up, Lord, and that your word will encourage them and motivate each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we're looking at this series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And someone asked me, well, you know, Pastor, you've been preaching about this a lot lately. Why are you focused on this? Well, it's because the Christian life is led by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what leads us in the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life effectively without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in us. And so it's essential that we understand this. And so 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks, perhaps it was three, I talked about keeping in step with the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, how when we keep in step with the Spirit, He is going to bring about and produce the fruit that He desires in our lives. He's going to bring that about in us. And we have to be willing and cooperate with Him for that fruit to be born. And then last week, I was trying to balance the need for us to cooperate and to work with the Holy Spirit, to work with God, the Holy Spirit, who's working in us. I wanted to balance that with the truth of the gospel. And so we looked at Romans chapter 3, and we talked about how it is the gospel of grace that saves us. We begin with the gospel of grace. We walk and stand by the gospel of grace. And all through our lives, and we are upheld and finish with the gospel of grace. It is always grace. And I wanted us to understand that because I don't want anyone being confused that we have a gospel of works. We do not. But this morning, as we look at this passage, what we have to do is move forward from the gospel of grace and understanding that we must cooperate with this gospel of grace, cooperate with the Spirit of God, and we must set our minds on what the Spirit desires in us. So there's a responsibility, there's a cooperation that we have to have. Now, as we read the letter of Romans, Paul starts out at the very beginning of the letter and he says, I have been called to be a servant of the gospel. And I'm happy that I can bring this gospel to you, the Roman Christians at the time. He was excited about the prospect of going to Rome and preaching the gospel to Christians there and non-Christians alike, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. He was excited about that idea. And what he says, and this is a powerful, powerful verse, chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and it is the power of God unto salvation. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. He says, I preach Christ and Christ crucified, and no other message. As you know, in that day, there was lots and lots of philosophies, and, you know, there was, of course, in Greece, we know at the Areopagus, there was philosophers that would sit around and they would debate and discuss the latest philosophies of the day and, you know, what sounded best and what made more sense. And we know in Acts chapter 18, Paul goes there and he addresses them with the gospel of the crucified Christ. And what he says to them, what he says to the Romans, what he says to us is, I preach nothing else but Christ crucified. He said, I am not a man of great, mystical, fabulous words. No, my message is simple and true. I preach Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, and buried, and then resurrected on the third day. And that through the risen Christ, we can have righteousness and peace with God. We can be saved from our sins and from destruction. And he says, that's what I preach, folks. And that's what I live out. And he says, you and I are also to live it out in our lives. That's His purpose. That's our purpose. We are to live out the gospel so that people see it, people hear it, and some may be saved. Because of what God has done in Christ, we can live it out. And I hope that we will see here in Romans 8 that we can live an overcoming life. We can live a life of true life and peace. In another place, Paul says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question as I start this message. Are you living in righteousness? Not your own righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Are you living in righteousness? Are you living in peace? And are you living in the joy of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes I wonder, as Christians, are we living in that? Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to, you know, skip about and, you know, everything's fantastic and great. You know, a lot of times we're under burdens and heavy burdens sometimes at that. But we can have that deep, abiding joy and peace that God gives us through Christ. Amen? No matter what. No matter what. Through difficulty or through good times, we can have that peace. And so Paul wants us to understand that we can live out the gospel. We can live as overcomers. We can live a new, overcoming life every day. Every day. And you see, as we are going into this message, and we're going to take apart some of the words here a little bit, this is what communion represents. Communion represents the foundation that we can live a new life in Christ. We can live out the gospel. So this message today is about cooperating with the grace of God that saves us. If you didn't hear the message last week, if you were away for some reason, I invite you to go to the website and listen to the message on Romans chapter 3. We looked at, I believe it was verse 17 on in chapter 3, about the gospel of grace and how it is grace that justifies us before God. God gives us the righteousness of Christ. And what we have to understand here as sort of a side note is that good works come as a result of receiving this grace through faith. The good works that we talk about, they come as a result. You and I, we do good works. We follow the leading of the Spirit. We're going to see that we have to set our mind on the Spirit, which is life and peace. It brings forth peace with God and righteousness. That is a result of grace, cooperating with grace. You see, grace is free. It is a gift of God that comes to us, but grace is not cheap. Grace is the greatest gift in the world to us. But, just like I'll use this bottle of water as an illustration. Jojo brought me a bottle of water. Thank you, Jojo. And he gave this to me. Now, did I pay you for this, Jojo? Did I give you a dollar for this? No, no. Now, what if this thing just sat here the whole time, and as I go on my sermon, I start talking like this, and you cannot understand me because I'm so dry in my voice. But the water just sits there, and just sits there, and I don't do anything with it. What good will that water do if I don't take that water and make it mine? If I don't take this delicious cold water and make it mine, I got to put it in me. I got to get it over my vocal cords so they are not dry and raspy. You see, the grace of God, God gives it to us as a precious gift. But we've got to take it, and we've got to put it inside of us, and we've got to let it work its way through us. I'm trying to get us to understand that we've got to cooperate with the Spirit of God. How do we do that? Well, we do that by setting our mind on the Spirit's leading. That's really the main point of the message today. Setting our mind on the Spirit of God and His desire and His leading in my life. If we will set our minds on the Spirit's leading, we will effectively live in true life and peace. That's the gospel. That Jesus Christ, through His finished work on the cross, can transform our lives from chaos, from fear, from bondage, whatever it is that we've been going through. He will take away the burden of our sins, and He will give us new life. He will give us peace. He will give us righteousness in the Holy Spirit. As we read this message, this passage here, you'll notice in verse 1, and I want to point this out because I know there may be some that will ask me about this later on. You'll notice in verse 1, the second part, in some of the older translations, such as the King James Version, New King James Version, that second part is not in some of the newer translations. Some of the older translations say, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, verse 1, for those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, the reason that it's left out is because it's not in the oldest manuscripts of the Bible that we have. That phrase is not in the oldest manuscripts of the New Testament that we have. And just a little side note of translation. In order to get the most accurate translations of the Bible, we go back to the earliest copies that we have in existence of the New Testament. And as we look at all the oldest copies of the New Testament, we find that that second part of the phrase is not there. And so do we surmise. Bible scholars have surmised that somewhere later, a scribe copying this added that note as sort of an explanatory note. Now, you'll notice that it is, that phrase is at the end of verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is in the oldest copies of the New Testament. But it is not in verse 1. And when you look at that and you read it, it makes sense. Okay? It's not that we have no condemnation because we're following after the Spirit rather than after the flesh. We have no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus, period. There is no more explanation. There is no more addition to that. We have no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus. And as we break up the main point into subpoints, that's going to be number one. But before I get to number one, let me just say this. We can live an overcoming life because we live by the power of the Spirit. Brother Bob was mentioning a couple weeks ago, and might even have mentioned it last week, that over and over again it says in the Scripture that God's work in us is not by might, not by power, but by what? My Spirit, says the Lord. It's always been by the Spirit of God. He does in us what we cannot do humanly ourselves. And so, we can live a fulfilling life. We can live a life following Jesus. We can live a life that displays the gospel in us because we're setting our mind on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, number one, because there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. Christ's Spirit lives in us, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Now, I'm going to get to that, but before I do that, last night I found this quote, and I really, really like this quote, and I wanted to give it to us. Because I think it kind of puts some feet to this message here. This is a quote from Priscilla Shire. I think that the ladies have done a number of studies from her, the voice of God, so on and so forth. Here's a quote about the Holy Spirit's work, the Holy Spirit's job. She says this, "You with me? Say amen." The Holy Spirit's job is to chip away at everything that doesn't look like Jesus in us. Let me read it again. The Holy Spirit's job is to chip away at everything that doesn't look like Jesus in us. Isn't that great? You know, we all say that, well, you know, I got some rough edges. Yeah. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit's there to take those rough edges off. He's going to chip away at them. He's going to chip away at this inner man that has this thing called the flesh, the sinful nature. He's going to chip away at it. And he's going to keep chipping. And he's never going to stop. Never going to stop. As Brother Charlie said, even if you run away from God, he's still going to pursue you. He's still going to chase you. He's still going to chip away at your flesh, your sinful nature, and bring you back. So he's doing a lot of chipping away in me. How about you? Doing some chipping away in you? I hope so. I hope you recognize it. You might say, oh, you know, Pastor, have these terrible things happening to me, you know. What's that old country song? Lost my job, lost my house, lost my wife, lost my dog. If you play the song backward, you get them all back. Sometimes you might think that life is crazy. Life is unfair. I challenge you to think in the midst of your life, maybe God, the Spirit, is chipping away at you as He's chipping away at me. So number one, come back to that, no condemnation. We can live a fulfilling life because there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Why is that? It's because God, we read this in verses 1 through 4, God fulfilled the requirements of the law by His Son, Jesus Christ. God fulfilled the requirements of the law by His Son, Jesus Christ. He fulfilled them legally, and He fulfilled them actually. You see, it's one thing to do something legally. You know, sometimes things are done legally and we don't see it. You know, it's like the signing of a pen. And it's done. It's legal. Well, Jesus didn't just come down to earth and then sign off on it. No, 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 no. He went to the cross. He died in our place. He took my sin. The sins of all of us were laid upon Him on the tree. Peter tells us that all of our sins were laid upon Him bodily on the cross, on the tree. Don't ever think that somehow Jesus didn't know what was going on, or what was it all about, or did he really feel the sins? Oh yes, you remember how He bled upon the cross. You remember how He cried out to the Father, my God, why have You forsaken me? Why did He say that? It's because in that moment, the first time He was ever separated from the Father, we know from eternity past, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God who exists eternally in three persons. We use the word persons because we don't have any other better word. But as soon as you use the word person, that's a human word. And it doesn't really make sense to us. He is the three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've been studying in the book of Genesis in our men's study over the past summer. One of the first things we noticed in Genesis chapter 1, where God is talking about creating, and He's speaking forth creation by His Word, and He gets to the pinnacle of His creation, man, and that's generic, man and woman, because it says in the image of God, He made them, male and female, He made them. Okay? Don't talk to me afterwards, say, you know, Pastor, you really shouldn't use that politically incorrect word, man. It's generic. Okay? It's generic. It means man and woman. And it says, let us make man in our own image. We notice that in Genesis chapter 1. That God, and Bible scholars call this, by the way, the majestic plural. It's God how He refers to, it's God refers to Himself this way. It's how God refers to Himself. Well, there is a hint there of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so God has fulfilled the requirements through Jesus Christ, His Son, for you and for me, legally and actually. Therefore, when we receive Christ and we receive His righteousness, we receive the benefit of it, and He condemns sin, but He fulfills His justice in His Son. And as I preached last week, He transfers that to you and to me when we receive Christ. Can you say amen? You receive the righteousness of Christ when you put your faith in Christ. Well, what is condemnation? Condemnation, as we read here, there is no condemnation, is a damning sentence. It's a damning sentence. In other words, when it says that God, verse 2, condemned sin in the flesh, verse 3, He condemned sin in the flesh. Why? Because He had said from the beginning that if you sin, you will die. And you and I have all sinned. Amen? Every one of us have sinned. Now, we're not sinners, we're not defined by our sin, we're defined by our identity in Christ, but every one of us have sinned. He says that in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's a damning sentence, and this connects all the way back to Genesis 3, all the way back to the fall, We're all born into sin, and we sin not merely because we're sinners, we sin because we have a sinful nature. It's not just acts of sin that are kind of independent on our part. No, it's because we have a sinful nature. And see, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. I want you to think with me for just a second. What if God had not sent His Son? And we were still living under the provision or the covenant of the law. In Sunday school class, we've been studying the Old Testament. We're actually up all the way up into the book of Judges. They did better than me. I think I was in Genesis for like 2 years, something like that. But over and over again, we're seeing the people of God struggling under the old covenant of the law. And, you know, without the new covenant of righteousness and peace through the Holy Spirit, people struggle and they fail. And they not only do that, but they continually do it over and 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 over. Did I say that they fail over and over? As you read the history of the people of God, Israel, you find it is one failure after another from Genesis all the way to Malachi. And then there's 400 years of silence while the people of God fail again and fail again and fail again. And finally God says, enough. And we read in Galatians chapter 4, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. Born under the what? Under the law. Born of a woman, born under the law. Why? So that He could fulfill the law and give us the righteousness of Christ and the indwelling Spirit so that we can overcome life. Aren't you glad that we can overcome life by the power of the indwelling Spirit? So God foreshadowed it through the Old Covenant, and now He fulfilled it through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Christ. And it is credited to us. Here, Paul uses the word in order, verse 4. Can you bring that up for me, Les? I know I don't think I asked you to do that in the outline, but verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. You see it? Through Christ, who fulfilled the law and was perfect and righteous before God, He transfers that to you and to me. The righteous requirements of the law are fully met in you and me. That's why I can say I'm not a sinner in God's eyes, in God's in position to God. I am now a saint. I am a saint that sins at times. But my standing before God is now perfect in Christ. Perfect in Christ. Perfect in Christ. I have the righteous requirements of the law are met in me. Now last week, I talked about the fact that it is fulfilled in us because that it is imputed to us, right? Remember I used that big fancy word, that grace imputes the righteousness of Christ to me. But I made this comment last week, and I didn't have time to build on it, but I want to mention it this week. The righteousness of God is not only imputed to us. Watch this. You with me? Say amen. It's implanted in us. It's implanted in us. It's not merely a legal statement, positionally, where God says, you are now righteous in my sight. No. He implants it in us. How? By the indwelling Spirit of God. He takes the righteousness of Christ. Oh, I hope you can get excited about this. I hope you can get excited, because I'm excited. When I understand this concept from the Scripture, this principle from the Scripture, I get excited. Because why? I can live an overcoming life. I can live an overcoming life. I'm not perfect. You all know that. I'm not perfect. I fail. I sin. But in the main, I can live a life pleasing to God. I can live the gospel. Why? Because God has taken His Spirit and implanted it in me. And therefore, there is no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. I am in union with Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you in union with Christ Jesus? Are you in Christ Jesus? Because without that union, without that righteousness of Christ in you by the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. How do we know that? Well, we just read it here a few minutes ago. I know I read a lot, but here in verse 9. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Do you see it? If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in your life, you don't belong to Him. There are no wannabe Christians. Either you are, or you're not. I remember asking a man one time. I said, brother, you know, you've been sitting here in church. I said, are you really a truly a saved Christian? Do you really know the Lord Jesus? He said, well, I think so. Listen, if you think so, you probably are not. Why? Because later on in this chapter it says, the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a son or a daughter of God. The Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a son or a daughter of God. I belong to Him. So therefore, we have the mind of Christ. The righteousness of Christ is implanted in us. Not only is it imputed to us, and we are legally and positionally righteous before God, the Spirit applies the work of Christ to me, it's credited to me, but also it's implanted in me. We are given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Can you say that with me? We have the mind of Christ. Make it personal. I have the mind of Christ. Now, if you can't say that this morning, if you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't think I have the mind of Christ because I haven't surrendered to Christ, I encourage you, I implore you, give your life to Christ. Invite Christ into your life today. Receive Him. Receive forgiveness of your sins. Receive the indwelling Holy Spirit that He may fill you and implant in you the mind of Christ. And then, you can live an overcoming life. Well, number two, how do we live this overcoming life? Verse two, we can live this overcoming life by the control, by the enabling, by the governing of the indwelling Spirit of God, rather than living to the flesh. And if we will do this, we will have life and peace. Let me try to explain this. Verse five. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. Okay, stop there. We looked at this 2 weeks ago in Galatians chapter 5. And what did it talk about? It talked about the sins of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh. And it talked about all kinds of sins. I looked at it. It was the sin sampler. Right? It was talked about immorality, idolatry, anger, fits of rage, fits of wrath. It talked about envy and greed and gossip and so on and so forth. All these things come out of my flesh, my sinful nature. By the way, again, give you a definition. The sinful nature is my human lower nature apart from the governing power of the indwelling Spirit. That's the sinful nature. There is within us, and you can't make too much of this because, you know, we're not literally binatured, two-natured, no. There is one nature within us, and the question is, which one of these natures is going to reign? Is it going to be the Spirit of God who is overcoming my sinful nature? The mind of Christ, is that going to be overcoming? I love the statement that Paul says at the end of Romans 7. He says, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's overcome the struggle in our lives. Not perfect, but He can overcome the struggle. But there's a process and there's a cooperation. He says, set your mind on the desire of the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Some of the old translations that said the mind according to the flesh or set upon by the flesh. But those who have the spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Say that with me. Life and peace. You see it? The mind governed by the Spirit. Governed. What does this mean? Governed means purposed, controlled, enabled. You see, that's why God sent the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus' last words? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power. And you will be my witnesses. You see, Jesus didn't just say, well, you're forgiven now, and just do the best you can. Man, I'm so glad you didn't leave us like that. Because what you know what? The best I can is an absolute disaster. I'm a basket case without the indwelling Spirit of God. And you all laugh. Like, oh, Pastor Tom, he's funny. He don't really mean that. You have no idea. You have no idea. It's hard enough keeping the flesh subdued by the power of the Spirit. It's hard enough now with the indwelling Spirit of God. I can't imagine what a mess I would be without the Spirit of God in my life. I'd be an absolute basket case. My life has to be governed by the Holy Spirit. This is the problem right here, folks. Can I just stop right here and say this is the problem for us as Christians? I've preached so many times that you need to surrender. You need to commit. You need to consecrate your life. Why? Because your life must be governed by the Holy Spirit. Your life, my life, must be governed by the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of Christ. This is what the Christian life is all about. This is why we struggle. This is why we're impotent. This is why we're apathetic. This is why we're ineffective. Because we do not set our mind on the things of the Spirit. I'm preaching to myself here. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, Pastor Tom, you need to obey God. I understand. But you know what? We all need to obey God here. It says, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And when we do that, literally, the desire of the Spirit, we seek after and follow the Spirit's desire, and that desire is to glorify Jesus and you and me. Chip away at everything that does not look like Jesus. And that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we're told, as I wrap this up, verse 10 and 11, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you and me if we are in union with Christ. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you and me if we have received Jesus and we are living in union with Him. Well, I just can't seem to overcome these problems. I can't seem to overcome these sins. Really? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe God will overcome those things in your life because He's overcoming in my life. Amen? He's overcoming in my life and He's going to overcome in your life. We have to believe it and we have to receive what He has for you and for me. But it's not cheap. It's not cheap. There's nothing in the Scripture about cheap grace. There's a lot of messages being preached today, especially in this culture in America, about cheap grace. Well, you know, you just pray a little prayer and ask Jesus into your life and everything's going to be great. You don't have to do nothing. In fact, you can go out and sin. Hey, you're forgiven. So go live it up. Go live it up. Go live it up. That's cheap grace. That's not what God wants for you and for me. His grace is beautiful. His grace is perfect. His grace is powerful. Paul said, the same grace is working in me powerfully. Therefore, follow me. This is an incredible statement. Follow me as I follow Christ. He puts himself up there as an example for you and me. Wow. That's a heavy responsibility. If I stand here and say to you, Beloved, follow me as I follow Christ. Boy, I better be following Christ. Amen. I better be an example for you. Amen. I better have my act together and be setting my mind on the things of the Spirit. So let's live by the Spirit. Amen. Let's set our mind on what the Spirit desires in my life. He desires to glorify Jesus in your life and my life. He wants to chip away everything that does not look like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh to be that sin offering for us, to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law, that we may know you, we may live in the righteousness of Christ. Thank you for your indwelling Spirit by which we can live in righteousness and life and peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we come to your table this morning, we come humbly, remembering and recognizing your great sacrifice, your atonement for us, your broken body and your shed blood. I'm going to ask my elders and servers to come and be preparing the elements.